The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Dr. Doreen Grandpichet is the...
Dr. Doreen is an expert in autism.
Doreen Grandpichet.
Dr. Grandpichet.
Dr. Doreen Grandpichet.
Dr. Doreen Grandpichet is a visionary in the field of autism. Now you can ask her questions on Ask Dr. Doreen.
Good morning and welcome to the final 3 hours of the Autism Network Podcast-a-thon. We are here for a special 2 hours of Ask Dr. Doreen with the lady herself, Dr. Doreen Grandpichet. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I am a little bit left of center.
I can
imagine. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a little giddy. And as long as it stays that way, as long as I don't go over into the maudlin part of being tired, we'll be really good.
What did you get, like 4 hours of sleep in the last 44 hours?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. And that 4 hours wasn't completely uninterrupted. So,
yeah.
It's catnaps where we could take them. It's okay. I can sleep later on today.
That's
in three
awesome.
Hours, I can
That's
sleep
awesome.
All I want for the rest of the weekend. So it's all good. And I have to say this. And here I'm not going to go to the maudlin thing, but I'm really proud of our community.
Yeah.
I'm proud of how they came together and helped us to do this 44 hours and the content that they brought and the important messages. Later on, I'm going to ask the viewers, you know, what's the one thing that you learned in all the podcasts that you watched that was really, really valuable? Because I know I learned so much from the different things. So that's I'm looking forward to hear that. And I'm looking forward to these last 3 hours because we've got a lot still to cover and some amazing guests and maybe
fun.
A couple of surprises. And there are only 2 hours left for us to reach our $5,000. I think we're more than, I don't know. We need you to donate. It's in jeopardy right now. Here's the thing.
So please donate if you want to see me shave Shannon's head in 2 hours. So
that's
please.
Right. It'll happen right here live. We're not even going to change clothes. That's how soon it's happening,
yes.
right? And we all want to do this. You especially.
I am excited to do this.
And I do too.
I think if we haven't reached our goal, I'll have to make the number myself or make it hit the number myself.
Well, I thought you were going to say you were only going to shave like the middle of my hair.
Okay, yeah, that's another
And I was going to say, please save me and donate enough. So that's really important. So you can, I have it, I just put it on my Facebook if you don't know where to go to donate. But it's givebutter.com/iPad challenge.
Good job.
Pretty, I like the tack is no longer sharp, but sometimes it'll spit out good things. So there we go. There it is. givebutter.com/iPad challenge. And we're trying to raise money for iPads. We're having a good time with this because we're talking about shaving my head, and that's I want us to have a good time with this. But we're doing this because we want to put functional communication in people's hands.
Right.
Everyone has the. I love the poster that we have in the lobby that says, "Communication is a right, not a privilege," and that means we have to make it accessible to everyone. So please donate and know that you'll have done a good thing. Donations of any size and any amount are welcome. givebutter.com/iPad challenge. Also want to let you know, Trayvon was just showing you you can be writing in comments. We're live on so many different platforms, but especially on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm saying Twitch. Isn't that fun? Everybody was making a little fuss over that because that's the cool one, I guess.
Is it? So, oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's where that's all the gamers are. So we've been live there for a while. I just forget to say it because it's not as relevant to me, but apparently it's the cool one, so I'm going to make sure that I say it from now on. You can be writing in your comments, and you want to be writing comments in the next 3 hours because we are going to be giving away some Discovery Toys gift certificates for $25 each. And the way that you enter is by making a comment. If you make a comment, we have a bunch of wonderful people in the back who are writing down every time that you guys make a comment. That puts one entry into the hat. At the end of this hour, they will choose 10 winners. And then we will do more next. We'll announce how many in the next 2 hours that we're doing, but 10 in this hour. So pretty amazing. Now, we also want to say that this hour, we're going to be squeezing in a couple of different things in these Ask Dr. Doreen hours. We're going to be answering your questions live right now with Dr. Graham Pichet, and she is a true expert in the field of autism. She's been working in this field for more than 45 years. I mean, everybody wants to know her face cream. I know. And your how you get your spirit, too, which I think is unique, and we can't buy that in a face cream, because your energy is absolutely amazing. We've seen that in the last 44 hours. But she has been working in this field for that long and has been working with all kinds of individuals, helping them to achieve what they want to achieve. So thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Honestly, it's also been a pleasure doing this podcast-a-thon with you, and I want to thank you. You are amazing. Oh. I honestly don't know how you pulled it off, but you did, not only yourself, but all the wonderful people who came in and helped and in so many different ways. So thank
well,
you, Shannon.
Well, we could not have done this without Traven, because let's be honest, if it weren't for Traven, we would be sitting here having a nice conversation by ourselves.
Right.
So we really want to thank Traven for all of his patience and hope that he's still speaking to me when all of this is over. I also want to say, too, none of this would have been possible. None of anything would have been possible without you.
Oh, Shannon, you're too kind.
You bring yourself and your knowledge and your connections always to everything in your heart and your spirit. And so, you know, none of it's possible without you
either.
Thank
you so much. I'm so glad we did it. And I know I will be going back to looking at a lot of sessions that I missed because I was sleeping. But I loved the lineup. So people should go back.
I didn't get a chance to watch full episodes of almost anything, but I got to see at least a couple of minutes of almost everything. This last hour with Amy Gravino and Dr. Gerhardt, you know, some really important stuff about sexuality that I don't think I've ever heard people speak that frankly, and it's important.
Right.
We need to do that.
Right.
So all of that and much, much more. Also want to say to you guys that you can write in your questions right now, and that counts towards winning a gift certificate. You can only win one time during the podcast-a-thon, so if you've already won, please feel free to write in more questions, but know that you won't be entered. Autism Journey with Elijah, who tore the roof off this place at 1 o'clock this morning.
Let me just tell you. Thank you for that. It was so amazing that you were willing and able to do that. We really appreciate it. Even more so, the mom of an individual on the spectrum doing that at 1 a.m. Thank you.
And she says, thank you for letting me share my journey. What an amazing experience. But I had so many people messaging me going, who is this woman? This is amazing.
Wow.
So there we go.
Even
Marina was out there going, this is amazing.
Aww.
So yes, you did an awesome, awesome job. And Judy, thank you for saying that you love my hair because hopefully it's going bye-bye. And it's a little bit pillow head right now.
Let's take pictures, everyone.
Yeah, but it'll grow back. That's the thing.
Well,
hair
and
grows
you look
back.
Gorgeous with a shaved head, which very few people can say that. So.
Well, my mother would have told you that, you know, she said there was a fine art to rolling babies and putting, you know, not what we say anymore because she would put you on your back and on your side and whatever.
Right.
She said she was shaping heads.
That's right.
So and she would always say whenever she saw a baby with a flat head, that's a mom who didn't know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they told us all to back our babies, too, for safety for SIDS. So my mother didn't care if I died in my sleep. So
as long as you had a well-shaped neck.
I have a well-shaped noggin, apparently. I don't know, because I can't really look at it, so it doesn't really matter. I get chatty when I'm sleepy, apparently.
Well, that's good.
Okay, good. Good. Anyway, we thought we'd start to take some questions, but then the second half of this hour, we're going to be joined by a very special guest, someone that I was talking about in the middle of the night last night that led me to you.
Oh.
Yeah. And because it was the Shepherds who gave me her book, which got me to you. So there you go.
And what a fantastic book it was.
Oh, my gosh.
It
We're talking about Christina Adams and her first book, A Real Boy. And yes, it was my Bible. I didn't go anywhere for a month without that book. I was studying it.
That's amazing. I gave that book and a few other books that had kind of mentioned my work to my mother, and she loved Christina's book. It was her favorite.
Yeah. Well, she's such a great writer,
first of all. She really is.
She puts you there, and you feel like you're in a movie of your life, but living her life, you know what I mean? She's eloquent, but, you know, not flowery to the point where you notice.
Right.
It's just she brings you there. And she did it in such a poignant way that touched my heart forever. Mm-hmm. I used to keep a small stack of them and give them away to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I felt that it was something important for people as they started their journey.
Yes.
And the fact that I can call her a friend now is so deeply emotional to me. Mm-hmm. Because there were so many things in the book that she would write about things, and I knew she was somewhere in Southern California, but I was like, someday I want to meet her. Oh. I'd love to be at the grocery store that she's at. I wonder where she lives. Like almost stalker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And she's so gracious. She comes to all of our events. She attends everything. Honestly, it's
just
amazing.
A positive person always. Susie says, I need to get my books autographed by both of you. And you know you can. Srinikath, I'm sorry if I mauled that. Great morning, Dr. Doreen and Shannon. Amazing podcastathon. Lots of takeaways for years to come with my 5-year-old. I love that. Later on, I'm going to be asking, tell us one thing that you learned. And Dahlia, who was with us through a lot of the hours last night, and I noticed that, Dahlia, I really appreciated it, says hello to Dr. Doreen and Shannon. And I'm going to get started with questions here, and you guys can be writing in questions if you have. But I want to get this starter question. What do you do with a child that never wants to comply? He is 8, and I could ask him to do his favorite thing, and he if he is in a snit, he won't do it. It's very tiring.
Yeah, and I don't mean to laugh at that, but it's just I just find I don't know. It's weird, but I find it cute when our kids become obstinate about something.
Lovely that you think that, but from the parent point of view, it's not so much fun.
I know, but I just feel like they're little children and they're trying to like just put their foot down and refuse to do something. And I think it's just adorable in some ways, you know. And I think it's a great way to ask the question, because it's one thing to say a child is non-compliant. That's a different thing where you are looking for functions and trying to decide, okay, am I asking them to do something they don't want to do or what's going on here? But sometimes I see that children are just obstinate about something just because they want control.
Yeah.
Control is a big function that we never talk about. And, you know, imagine if you had very little control over your schedule, your life, et cetera. And then you would just become the person that refuses to do things just because you want to have a say in something about yourself. And so with children like that, I often will give them choice. Choice is very important. So, you know, you can have for every hour that you're supposed to do things, what we would do is we'd have like 3 options and the child would choose. And they could actually produce their own schedule that way by putting little Velcro cards in places that they wanted to. Or even like when you want to go out and there is no possibility of giving choice, then at least you can give them choices of reinforcers. Like wherever in their life you can give them choice, give them choice, because it will help the child be a little bit more willing to comply when they don't have choice. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a matter of doing that. That's really important.
And can I quote Hank for a minute, speaking of a real boy, because the first time I ever heard about Hank,
yes.
I don't know if you've heard this story, that I carried that a real boy with me everywhere. And in it,
yes,
she would talk
yes.
about Hank Moore, who was on the program
he
with
you. He was on the show, right?
And Hank seemed like, you know, the most amazing person on the face of the planet, that he answered all questions, autism, and was brilliant. And then when I first came to the office where all of you were, mm-hmm. I was looking for Hank. Where's Hank? And
yes.
I said, well, Hank doesn't work here. And it was sort of, you know, like, why are you looking for Hank?
He's kind not
of
thing. In this site.
And for
yeah.
years, I was looking for Hank
uh-huh.
and thought he must be mythical. He must be somebody made up. He's a conglomeration of people. Hank isn't really real. But then every once in a while, I would ask somebody
right.
and say, is Hank real? Is there? They go, yeah, Hank's real. He just doesn't work here. And I go, okay, someday I'm going to meet Hank. And then there was one day that I got invited up to the conference room for something, the presentation that was going to be there, and somebody said, oh, Shannon, this is Hank, and whatever. And I went, Hank? You're Hank? You are the Hank? You're Hank?
And I
had to sit down, and I was like, I can't believe are you really the Hank?
Oh, my God, that's
And, you know,
so
and he
funny.
Was so Hank, he was like, yeah, it's me. And everybody around us was going, what just happened?
Somebody
gosh. Broke Shannon. What
that
just happened?
Is so funny.
And it was like I had met Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In person, I was crying and shaking and going, I can't believe
yeah.
that I'm sitting here with you. And Hank is brilliant. But one of the things that Hank would always say is that when you're having problems with compliance, mm-hmm. up the praise.
And
I would always go, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
I said, I'm having trouble with compliance.
Right.
And you are saying up the praise, these two things, because it seems like if you're having trouble with compliance, you should be saying to them, you need to do this, you need to do that. But that's the old stinking thinking that isn't effective.
Right, right. It's always about reward, Shannon. It's always
yeah.
about making it fair, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like, it's interesting you brought that up right now, because I should have probably started with saying that, but having choice is also
yes.
reward.
Yes.
Having choice is a reinforcer, right?
Yes.
So like any form of reinforcement, making sure that there is, and I know this parent was saying, it doesn't even matter if I tell them they're going to do something they love.
Right.
At that moment, it's not worth it for them. At that moment, they'd rather have control than whatever activity that you're offering them. Or at that moment, that is just not a reinforcer.
Well, somebody wrote in that one of their takeaways that immediately is helping their family were in the executive function domain by the autism helper, because they presenting choice boards mm-hmm. during shutdowns, which is
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Very important. May says, hello, ladies. I want to ask about a comment Temple Grandin made about artistic kids on the spectrum also being good at mechanics, and is that true?
Hmm.
Temple was talking about how there are, because I had asked
her.
Three
types, I listened, yeah.
Well, and I was asking her, like, how do you start to know what your kiddo might be good at, what their special interest could be? And she was saying, well, music and math go together,
mm-hmm.
and that kids who are good at art are often very good at mechanics.
Interesting.
The music and the math part I had heard before.
I knew as well, yes.
But I had never heard art and mechanics,
yes.
but that certainly was true in Temple's case.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a great case in point, because she is as much about mechanical as a person can be. And I don't know if you've ever seen her drawings, her technical drawings or her personal
Amazing.
Drawings. works of art.
Interesting.
If, you know, there's one very famous picture of a bird's eye view of one of the cattle chutes that she made that people hang on their walls.
Amazing.
Because it sort of mimics what is the kind of shell, and the nautilus shell,
right,
the way it goes in a circle. Absolutely beautiful. And it's a kill shoot.
Yes.
That they
yes.
they're slaughtered at the end of it, and yet it is poetic and beautiful. And I hear that the difference of when you put cattle in that, they go without fear.
Right. And
because
that's
because it's humane.
Right, right. Right.
But it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Draw
yeah.
like nobody's business. And she could draw horses Absolutely, really? Stunningly.
Interesting,
yes.
Interesting.
Yes, I would love to see if she ever auctions off some of her horse drawings or if she still does that. We'll have to ask her next time. I was busy asking her.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was too busy asking her at the time if she had seen The Last of Us.
Oh, right.
Anyway, so go ahead and say what you
I was just going to say that, like, I think you, all of our kids have some type of interests or talents, and it's important to identify what that is. It really is, and I think you just can play around with it, and you'll see. I wouldn't give the child just one try, because sometimes in the beginning our kids aren't familiar with things, and they might not, just take to it. But I've had times, a lot of times, where I've noticed that a particular child doesn't have any kind of hobby or leisure activity, and I would play around, and I would like get one of those small synthesizer pianos, and I'd just play melodies and see if the child's going to get into it, and or pull out some paints or markers or whatever. Or my son is one of those that loves building things, mechanical type things, and he always, when he was little, would just ask for his birthday, Christmas, whatever. He'd always be like, I want a machine. And I'd always be like, what is a machine? And I figured out it's just stuff that, would go into each other that he could build, and it would do some function. So you just have to play around with it. Like, kids who like puzzles tend to like mechanical things, because that's kind of like building and similar. So, and it is so important. It is so, I mean, what you're doing is you're producing a new reinforcer for the child that they will have lifelong.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I tell you who has some really good toys in this category? Is Discovery Toys.
Yes.
That they have toys that you can give to a 3-year-old that it's a plastic rotary battery operated screwdriver that they can put together their own dinosaur or a car or something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
They have things that are beginning gears for as young as 2-year-olds, gears that go together that make something move, that make a cause and effect thing, up through, teenage.
Yes.
Putting something together gears. So lots of different things. And musical things as well. So check that out. Srinikath, I'm not sure I'm saying it right, has said, how can I redirect my 5-year-old who is overly involved in vocal disruption? He is happy doing that. Sometimes it's over his focus, attention to tasks. He does wear a sensory jewelry, food grade silicone necklace, which brings it down, but it is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
What a great question.
And when you say vocal disruption, what do you mean? Do you mean that he makes sounds repeatedly? Because, if that is the case, it's not necessarily a something that is activating his oral motor. If he's making sounds repeatedly, it could also be a sensory, like something that is, makes the E sound only. Yeah, that's actually quite common. And there are two things, I think, that you can try. One is the way we say it is you try to get it under SD control, which basically means that get him to start imitating sounds, believe it or not. And this way, E will become one of the imitation sounds, but you're going to now work on other vowel sounds as well, like ooh, ah, and those types of things in front of a mirror. And it's interesting because once you get it under your control, in other words, I'm going to do it, now you do it, the free use of the E tends to go down a little bit, because now it's kind of like, oh, it's work. It's work. But the thing that I found with kids who do a lot of that is that it is giving them auditory stimulation. They like hearing themselves making that noise, that sound. So I would suggest getting him some noise-canceling headphones that are going to not give him that stimulation anymore. So it's just like you've gotten him a chewy thing when his mouth, that's incompatible behavior, right? So when his mouth is busy chewing, he can't really make that noise. And I don't think we know he's 5. Later on, you can also teach him other things that he can do, like chewing gum and so on, that will prevent the use making noises. But know that the reason he's doing it a lot of times with our kids is the auditory sensation that they get from it. So really give him headphones, put the headphones on him when he does that. That will help prevent it. Get him engaged in other vocal activity, like getting him to imitate sounds, words, if, you know, get him into lessons so that he can begin vocalizing words and talking. And the more he learns that, the less of this he'll do. And sometimes I also want to say, I don't know if this is true in your case or not, but when children do the EE sound, they're also running back and forth, doing some sort of visual stimulation, running in a circle, running back and forth. If you can disrupt that particular activity, the EE sound tends to go away as well, because it's all part of one paradigm of behaviors.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Gemma used to do that, run around and,
yep.
yell E and all of that. And it's funny, I never thought of it as a visual stimulation.
Yeah.
I always
yeah.
thought of it as a physical stimulation, but I'm sure that there was a visual.
There's
now
a visual
that you
aspect
it up
to it, yeah.
But I love that you guys put him on a sensory diet.
Yeah.
And that it started, and this is, you know, he was one person. This is not a one-size-fits-all, but this is an example that he was on a sensory diet where they would take the couch cushions off the couch and squeeze him, and they would go, it's a burrito time, and they would squeeze him between the couch cushions, and he would laugh and whatever, and he would be more focused for
yeah.
a period of time. And then that gradually morphed into that they, before he went to kindergarten, they taught him how to squeeze himself,
mm-hmm.
that he could sit and just squeeze his elbows or squeeze his arms
yeah.
Or squeeze his thighs or squeeze his feet
yeah.
himself, and that helped him to be able to stay focused for a longer period of time.
And sensory diet, just so we can kind of tell folks about this, you can at intervals in between other activities do something sensory. Like even if a child is really into running back and forth, allow them to do that as a reward. This is called the PREMAC principle, where you can reward behaviors that are already very high frequency, or reward behaviors that are low frequency by allowing the high frequency behaviors to follow. So if he's doing this thing and we know he craves this running back right. and forth or screaming E or whatever it is, allow short segments of that as a reward. And also, I think you're absolutely right. The reason that it's a reward is that it produces some form of sensory calming or, you know, regulation type of thing. So it is hard, though, and I guess yeah. we're reading the rest of it, too.
She says he likes underfeet stimulation, like walking on ribbed footboards connected to make a path.
And are you sure, again, and this is why... thanks, but not from him, right? So you need to put the headphones on him when he's producing the sound. But going back to the underfeet stimulation, again, are you sure that it is underfeet stimulation as opposed to visual? Because you're talking about ribbed footboards. And this reminds me again of Jem because of the fact that it was these patterns in like
the floor. That he couldn't handle.
Yeah, a lot of kids are very... We don't realize that they see things that we don't necessarily... We consider background. We don't... Like, if you look at most floor tile, like I'm looking at our floor, whatever this is, vinyl.
Yeah.
And it is full of pattern, but because it's lines, right? But we don't see that. We see it as a kind of a hole.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't bother us in that, or the boards on the wall, this
yeah.
acoustic stuff. But our kids might see those patterns and very, very strongly see those patterns. And I know this because a lot of my older recovered kids have told me this, you know, that they see things, they hear things
yeah.
in a much more kind of discreet manner.
Yeah.
And so to them, observing those things, like perhaps footboards, maybe it's something they crave, maybe it's something that's aversive, we don't know.
Yeah.
But their intake of sensory stimuli is different. And you have to always pay attention and not assume that something they're doing, like making a sound, is a verbal type of stimulation. It could be auditory, it could go along with other behaviors that are visual. You have to play around with it.
I'll never forget the day that you were talking about the fact that toe walking is a visual stimulation thing.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
so
well,
interesting.
I remember going, my head just exploded, because that would never have occurred to me.
Yeah.
Yet it is.
Well, I mean, there's lots of experiments that have been published where you put these prism glasses on kids that toe walk, and they immediately stop toe walking just because now they see things quite differently.
Yep.
But there's other theories about toe walking that are also very interesting.
Very interesting. We're getting a bunch of questions, but we've got our guest waiting.
We
want
wonderful.
To introduce the fabulous Christina Adams. She's an award-winning journalist, an author. She, as I said before,
public speaker.
Speaks around the world.
Yes.
Her first book, A Real Boy, changed my life as it changed so many other people's lives. And her second book, Camel Crazy, she goes and speaks around the world about camel milk at so many different, you know, governments ask her to come and speak.
That's right.
Amazing how her life has turned out. I consider her a friend, and I think you consider
I
her a friend
too,
as well.
I do, too, and amazed at her, honestly.
She's just a light on this planet. So let's get her in here so that you guys can meet her. We love her. Christina Adams, are you there?
Good morning, my friends.
Her posse. She was there. Perhaps she got tired of waiting.
I wanted to say, oh, there she is. Hi, Christina. Can you hear us?
She can hear us, but we can't.
We can't hear her, Trevin.
So we'll get that taken care
of.
In the meantime, yes, people are applauding, saying Christina's here. It's wonderful. In the meantime, we're going to keep the questions you guys are writing in. Can we hear Christina yet? They're working on her sound.
Okay. Yeah, and I know Christina's done a lot of work also in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
I'm kind of really interested in hearing more about the things that she's done.
Okay. Try now, Christina.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello.
Great. Hi, my friends. It's wonderful to see you and to be with this engaged audience. You can tell already. Wow.
Yes. So very fun. And you look beautiful.
As always.
Oh, thank you. It's so early here. I'm just lucky to be upright here.
For me, it's the middle of the day.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. Christina, we're excited that you're here with us. And we were just saying about how you are up to many things lately. You travel the world and go all kinds of places. I guess I'm wondering either where are you going next or where have you just come back from?
Well, goodness. Thank you so much for the introduction. And you two mean the world to me. You're amazing. You're both been a gift to this community that Doreen was in before us, and then me, and then you. So it's great to be with you. And we always appreciate what Doreen has done for everyone, and now Shannon as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. And as far as me, so I've been doing, a lot of speaking lately. I've done two in India, one for in Gujarat for the community of Maldharis, who are pastoralist people who keep camels. And the camel milk is becoming more in demand for the autistic children population and other people, and another one in India. And then I've done one in Algeria. And then I just finished one in Pakistan for a dairy conference because they're trying to grow their dairy industry to benefit the vulnerables, as they say. And these are the pastoralist people who keep their livestock, and then also people like children with autism. And Pakistan has at least 400,000 people with autism, according to their survey. So it's a global issue, my friends.
Amazing. That's incredible. I don't know how you manage to do all this, honestly, because you are also, of course, a parent yourself, and you just travel all over the world. It's incredible. Before we got you on, I was just telling Shannon how amazed I am at all the stuff that you've done also in Saudi Arabia, where I'm very focused on trying to help them as well right now.
Well, that's great. I did have a wonderful trip there last year, and I was so fortunate to be invited for the camel issue. And then also I met some amazing people, including Princess Samira Al Saud, and she runs a wonderful operation for children with autism. She also helps people with schizophrenia as well. She is public about her own children's challenges. She's an amazing woman. So I was really lucky to see some of the schools, meet a lot of the parents and do some lecturing there. And it's really always great to see countries starting to come forward to serve their populations with autism and related disorders. And it's a global issue now. And again, I am struck, as you already know, Doreen, and you as well, Shannon, but I'm struck because repeatedly we see that families in the same situation want the same things. It doesn't matter where they're from, what their faith is, what their economic status is. We all want the same things for our children. And it's just a beautiful thing to be part of it.
For people who don't know you and aren't familiar with either of your books, but especially the first one, tell them a little bit about how autism came to be a part of your life and maybe how you met Dr. Grand Pichet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is definitely OG talk, right? We're the OGs now of this kind of thing. So I was a new mom, and I was living in Orange County, California, and I just finished my graduate degree in writing. I already had a career in aerospace and journalism and government and such. So my son, I just finished graduate school, and I was about to do my artistic endeavors and write my, you know, novel, which I already had done, but I didn't get it published yet. So then, boom, autism enters. And that's because of child getting kicked out of school, preschool, and all those things we all go through. And I was lucky. Some of the moms in my neighborhoods were real pioneers of this at the time. And they said, look, don't waste your time. Get a lawyer and deal with the school district. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And then get Doreen Grand Pichet. Don't waste time. Do it. And so I did reach out, and I met you, Doreen, back when you were in the little blue building near the freeway up in the valley.
Yeah.
And you know, walking into that office, I was emotionally devastated at the time. I didn't know what to expect. You're filled with fear. And, you know, meeting you, I was like, oh my, she looks so young. And I could say the same thing right now. but you know, you're afraid. You're like, can this person help me? Can this person help my child? What are we going to do? And so then I started running the full-on program in my home. Back then we had it in our home. And then we'd send the shadows to school when he was ready to go to preschool. After 6 months of diet and ABA, he was ready to go back to preschool and not get kicked out, even though he had an aide. But that's fine. This is the normal progression. You know, now it's a new way of parenting. So we just have to go with what our children need. And so then, you know, luckily by the age of 5, my son passed a kindergarten readiness test undetected by an expert with 30 years of experience. She didn't know he had autism, and he was doing great. But then after that, I knew he still had weaknesses, and this is very common with our kids. And I had the idea that camel milk might help his autism symptoms, because removing dairy and other things in the diet was very important, which I discuss in A Real Boy. As long as also I did ABA, discussing that book too, and Doreen's, you know, expertise. So then I flew in the camel milk from Bedouins in the Desert. He got better overnight from a serving of it. And it was just set me on this amazing journey. And now I write and lecture about it. And the camel milk helps children and adults with various disorders, not just autism, around the world.
Christina has invited, I know, I keep saying somebody needs to make the movie of your life, because it's got so many twists and turns. And as Christina keeps inviting me, and I really want to go, because I sort of super love camels ever since I was a child.
Okay.
I thought the camels were really cool. They spit. I don't know why I think that's cool. I don't ask me to explain it, but I've always loved camels. And there's a camel dairy farm not far from here that we keep saying we're going to go to, but we're going to do it, Christina. Mm-hmm. I'm done talking about it. I want to go hug camels with you.
Okay, listen, you've got camels more around you than you think. There's one in the valley. It's not a dairy, but it's not that far from you. Okay. There's another dairy, which is a couple hours north, but then there is the Oasis Camel Dairy, which is not that far from me. So let's all go. I think it'll be a great show. And also one of the guys at Oasis Camel Dairy, Gil Riegler, he started a thing for a while. He worked with camels to help people with disabilities. And he talks amazingly about how it changes their lives. And so that's what my book, Camel Crazy, it has not only all this information about camel milk and autism and your risk factors for autism if you're expecting a baby and like all these kind of things about food, but it's a story. And I have some of these amazing people telling their stories in it. And Gil Riegler at Oasis Camel Jerry is one of them. So they're very open to people with disabilities, and I think we would have an awesome time. So why not?
Absolutely. And, you know, just listening to you, Christina, I always tell people about your books because, as we were saying before you came on, you are such an amazing writer. I actually had not remembered that you studied journalism, but it's very obvious in your writing. Let me just say it's fantastic. But when I listen to you, you're also so incredibly eloquent that I feel like reading your books is not enough, like listening to you. And you should truly, not just about camel milk, but there are, you know, we should maybe have you more on the show and you should speak more because I think your journey is so important for parents. And of course, you know, you went through it very quickly here, but it was a different time. It was before there was health insurance, you know, and having to go through actually fighting your district. I mean, you did a lot of that as well.
But because I learned that from her book that I was going to have to fight. She set me up for that, that I was like, oh, okay, let me put on, you know, some boots here and pull up the big girl pants and go and fight. Christina did. I have to too. You paved that way for me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We all have to help each other to make it through and help these incredible children of ours identify their talents, what makes them happy, get them healthy in their diet and their biology. And that way, you know, it's our form of parenting. Yeah. And it's a very complex subject matter. So parents, don't get discouraged. Believe me, I was not good in math back in the day in high school. And when I first looked at the ABA, like kind of checklist and formula stuff, and then I looked at like these medical tests, I was in despair. Oh my, I can't do this. I can't do this. Now I'm writing medical, you know, journal articles. So what can I say?
And I want you to know that a couple of years ago, we went down and filmed a whole series with her it's called Autism and Beyond, that we play in between segments sometimes.
Oh, that's with Christina. I've seen that, of course.
Very beautifully shot. Samantha shot that for us and edited that. We love those. We weren't playing those interstitial pieces during the pandemic, but we've started putting them back into play. And Christina talks about all different kinds of things, about what it feels like as a parent, some of the things that she went through. They're short, but they're really fabulous. And it was such a joy to be down there with you for a couple of days and shooting. But I agree with Dr. Grampuchet. We should have you on more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
thank you. I enjoy what we can all do together, and you guys are amazing. So it's just so interesting lately, too. I mean, now that I've kind of got a lot of a background in all this, I keep up with the science information, I keep up with the biology, and there's such an interplay between our environment and between developmental disabilities and autism and things like that. Nonetheless, there is a genetic factor, as we know. So it's always now, there's a lot of science emerging on teasing out what are the factors that go into autism? What are the subtypes? There's at least 6 subtypes now scientifically, but there are probably more. But then these are people. They are our loved ones. They're incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. They're just amazing. I enjoy them so much. And, you know, you may not know. Now we're at the point in society you can have a person walking around you, being around you, a gorgeous young man like some of my son and his friends, and they will have gone through ABA. They will have gone through all this medical thing, and you won't know. You will not have any idea. So it's achieving our goal of getting them to do what they want to do.
That's
absolutely
right. Joanne says, if I don't go to the camel farm, that she's going to fly out and go with you. And she says that she wants to know, do you read your own audibles? And she says she really should. I don't even know what that means. What's an audible?
Audible are books on tape. Like
okay.
Audio books.
Are you doing your own, reading your own books then?
You know, the way publishing works is interesting. My publisher, my first book was Penguin, and my second book is New World Library, fabulous company. Both of them have been great. So get this, the audio rights are available. They own them. So if somebody wants to, you know, purchase them, then I can read it or somebody else can read it. Sometimes these companies audition actors and actresses to do these things, to read books. But I do have a background of reading, like I did NPR for a while. And thank you for the compliment. That's all I can say. But I definitely enjoy doing. I've done a lot of radio. I love that. And I'm just happy to communicate with people. So thank you.
That's amazing. So I have some questions.
Yes, you go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm hogging the time.
How is your son doing? Can you tell us how things are going now?
Well, this is so funny. When you were talking about, let's try to find the kid's talents. Let's see what he or she responds to. Okay, I threw so much money, time, and agony at taking my son to lessons back in the day. Swimming lessons, sewing lessons, art lessons, singing lessons. I mean, horse riding lessons. And I felt like most of them were okay, but none of them seemed to really stick. And acting lessons, I'm like, oh my goodness, I just threw away so much money on lessons in my life. However, the good part is he used to fight me on singing lessons. He was so good, but he wrote a song that was like publishable. It really still is amazing. I thought it was Cole Porter. And the teacher said, your son wrote that. And so now I just thought, I threw away so much money on lessons. Nothing worked. Guess what? He's in a band. He's the singer. They do music festivals. They make videos.
Wow.
Now he makes films with his friends that are amazing and hilarious.
That's awesome.
And you know, he can still draw. He can sit somewhere. Like if he's in a meeting or if he's, you know, in a situation, he can see a stranger and he takes a sketch pad. He does a beautiful pencil. He's gifted with pencil. And hands it to him after, or, you know, just shows it to him. It's incredible. So don't despair, my friends. Something might stick eventually.
Sounds like all the lessons paid off.
Yeah, it sounds like he's also very talented.
It did not.
That's awesome, though. Good for you. And Christina, what were your thoughts? You know, you've been in the field for a long time. I want to know what you thought when you heard this new prevalence of 1 in 36. What was your initial reaction to that?
Well, as you know, Doreen, all of us parents that have been observing this for a while, we either look at it and say, well, I kind of feel like I know it was coming, but I'm still despairing that I see it.
Yeah.
Or people just get so tired of it, they just walk away and be like, well, there's not much I can do. But the thing is, you know, everybody has to talk about, is it this? Is it that? Is it that? Scientifically speaking, they know that there are factors that contribute to an increase in autism, developmental disorders, and ADHD. So assuming that, you know, some of these factors are increasing in various countries and all that, the increase is real. We know it is. There's never been facilities to serve this population. Yes, there's more, you know, people that have never been identified that are being identified now, but that's very small. And, you know, people usually rule that out when they're doing these data sets. So what do I feel like it? It's just like, wow, it's not the direction I wanted to see things go in. It's not that we don't want people on the spectrum around because we love and adore them and they are wonderful and we love them in every way possible. It's that we don't want people to have more challenges that limit their life and cause them biological pain when eating and cause them to do things like my son can't tolerate the smell of fish in a grocery store.
Yeah.
He's going to leave or it's going to make him feel so ill. He's always been like that. So, you know, it's a limitation. You don't want these things to happen to your children if they don't have to. So it's also global. So I try to keep up with the rate. Whatever country I'm in, I do the research before I lecture, or sometimes I lecture remotely. Like I didn't go to Algeria or a couple of places this year. I've been kind of busy, but it's there. And all I can say is we know that it's going to impact society. Already Army recruiting rates, the recruits are not as, they don't have as many that are fit and ready for duty. It could affect your military. It's going to affect the funding. Already in England recently, there's a case where they actually are doing triage. There's all these people waiting for a long time, years, to get screened for autism. But now they've said, unless you're like in some kind of emergency distress, we won't even be there.
Wow.
So it's going to squash the service because everybody knows it could bankrupt the country or bankrupt services. So it's depressing.
It is. And yesterday we talked a lot about this as well with various people on the shows. And I guess, you know, my initial emotion was very similar to yours, and it was more focused on why. Like, why is this happening? And how much, you mentioned earlier in this hour, the whole concept of environmental factors. And at the end of my last show yesterday, there were a lot of questions coming up. People were asking, why is it increasing so much?
Yeah.
And I said,
we would have a chance to talk about it. And maybe next hour we'll talk a little bit more about it, because it's really, we do need to pay attention to the elements in our environment. As you know, there is a genetic predisposition for a certain percentage of kids, but it is triggered by environmental factors. And to talk about those factors, I think, is important, not just for the autism population, but also all chronic illnesses. And to look at kind of how, what are some things we can do in our environment to start reversing those things, because it has increased so much. And as you said, it affects countries and the economy in so many ways. And, you know, what's even worse, yesterday we were talking about the fact that after so many years, there are still very, very few adult services available. And of course, you know, we are, the all of us sitting here, we're very blessed in that the children, many of the children get to a point where they're living with minimal or no support, right? But there are also thousands of children who will require lifetime support. And as these numbers increase, more and more attention goes to the younger children who are just entering, because there's sort of such a panic around that and trying to help them, that we just never have the resources to help the adults on the spectrum. And that is just another part of it that's sad.
Yes, it can be catastrophic.
Well, it's tough. And I do talk in Camel Crazy about the some of the environmental factors, proximity to power lines, proximity to traffic where there's a lot of air pollution, pesticides, and processed foods, please avoid those. There are issues like that. And recently, I just got a new research article yesterday on a substance that's in the water in America, in a certain part of it. So I'm going to be looking at that a little more closer, but they do tie it to the risk of autism.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can we say? And also group homes now, this is interesting and not in a good way. A lot of group homes now, when people are trying to place their older children in the group home, the group homes are turning away those with challenging behaviors.
Wow.
So there's literally then no place for them to go, and they could still be, you know, and it's not their fault, these young adults, but, you know, they can harm their parents. They can harm people when they lash out if they get very upset. So it's dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
So Susie says she'd like to go to the Oasis with us as well. We're building an outing.
A tribe.
Yeah,
a tribe.
Mike wants you to know that his high school had a real boy in the library, and he says the book is excellent.
Wow.
And that's pretty impressive praise. Srinikath wants to know, what is the best source or form of camel milk to try in the U.S.? Can you please suggest any U.S.-based local farms to be able to sign up?
Absolutely. Thank you. And I love hearing that a real boy was in the high school. That's great. As far as the location and types of camel milk, the book Camel Crazy that's out there, I think it's like $8 on Amazon right now. So that's cool. You can get it easily. I do. Yeah, there's the cover. I do talk about not only how to use camel milk. There's a guide in the back, how to use it, what type do you need, how to prepare your child for it or yourself. And then I have a list of farms merchants globally, not just in America. So I would say, you know, any camel milk is good milk. Some of the children need the unheated type, which you can get straight from a farm, and our supply in America is very safe. And I talk about safety. Some of the children do fine with pasteurized. There's even powder. And now there's chocolate and soap and lotion if you have the sensitive kids. And so sometimes you can even make yogurt. People make yogurt out of it now. And they're making ice cream in Pakistan. And there's a farm in America that he's always playing with ice cream. He's one of our dear Amish friends who keep the camels. And so it's a Humpback Dairy in Missouri. And so he's loving playing with his ice cream. He's now got the largest herd in America. So, just go ahead and check out the book if you want to do so. If you don't, you can look online and find some places and dialogue with them.
I'm so glad we had an opportunity to have you be a part of the podcast-a-thon, because it wouldn't have felt like we had done something without you, Christina.
I agree.
So thank you so much. We want to encourage people to get both of your books. They're available in every major bookseller, and you can get them on Amazon. And will you promise to let us know when you're doing something new? Because we'd love to have you back on a more regular basis.
Well, thank you. You guys are always top of mind, and yeah, let's dialogue about what else we can do. And it's funny, if we do want to go to Oasis, probably we could talk about having an event with them. Let's do it.
Nice.
All
that's
right.
Awesome.
Now great. We're talking. Okay, cool. We have some unicorn craft kits that I need
to get
to some people. So maybe we need to have camels and unicorns.
Yes.
A themed thing so that we can do that. But Christina,
thank you
so much for being available this morning. I know you got a lot of things going on, but we are very grateful for you.
Well, thank you. And I see a question there. Anybody can follow me on social media, ask me questions. I'm at Christina Think on Twitter. I'm Christina Adams Author on Facebook, Christina Adams Author on Instagram, and my website is Christina Adams Author. So let's dialogue and keep it all going.
Thank you again, Christina.
Great to see you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was supposed to read the winners, and then we're going to quickly transition.
Yep. We'll do that.
Because it's time for Ask Dr. Doreen the Potty Talk. Potty training talk.
Right.
So, okay, these are winners of the $25 Discovery Toys gift card for this hour, and these can be used in the Discovery Toy USA website. I'm going to get you that information, but if I say your name, you need to send me back an email. We'll put my email address on the screen, and we'll put it in the chat. It's shannon@autism-live.com, but are you ready? Serenicath, you have won $25 gift certificate. Antonio Flores, Cindy Govendor, Hannah Lenoid, Damian Hunt, Annette Milima, Tim Walferi, Naomi Uriel, Anna Donahue, and Taylor Jeffers. You have all won $25 gift cards. You need to email me as soon as possible. I expect to hear from me next Monday or Tuesday. That I will get those to you, and congratulations. We're going to take a quick pause, and then it's time for the potty training.
That's awesome.
Discussion, so don't go anywhere.
Don't forget, you can watch Ask Dr. Doreen live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We hope to see you there.